So the reason that I was a little nervous is because I feel somewhat unworthy to be here speaking under this theme, because I don't know that I can claim that much fluidity. Although since I put my name in the bag and got a cup of Jameson, I've been thinking about my past. And
you've been feeling more fluid?
More fluid, yes. And I remembered that when I was an early adolescent, I really liked to play with my sister's Barbies in the basement, and I really liked the secretive, forbidden aspect of that. And I feel like years later, when I came out as gay, that was one of the few things that should have let people know that it shouldn't have been that much of a surprise. But I'm going to go back to the year that I did come out to my family, and some of the events leading up to that. I was training for a marathon to prove to myself that I could do hard things. I was working in the woods with a great experiential ed organization, meeting a lot of new people, didn't have internet or TV, so I had a lot of time to read, and I read the Randy Schiltz book, And the Band Played On, which is a journalistic nonfiction book about the AIDS crisis, which was really influential in how I viewed my place in the world and in a community that I didn't know that I was a part of necessarily. And then, interestingly enough, I had watched the movie Short Bus, which represents a lot of gender and sexualities within that story. So I had kind of all of that percolating, and the summer came, and my sister lives in Wyoming, and we were going out as a family to visit her on her ranch in Wyoming. And Wyoming may not seem to be the first place someone would think to go when they're starting to come out. I mean, it is. It's firmly ensconced, I think, in LGBT history for a pretty tragic reason, right? That's where Matthew Shepard was brutally murdered. And I knew that. And, you know, my sister had gone out there for a summer as a wrangler and sort of stayed there. She's now married to a cowboy, raising her three kids in Wyoming. And but we were going out for the first time since she had ventured out there. So we got on the plane, and I'm flying out there, and I'm finishing up Randy Schiltz's book, and I'm feeling just really like everything's aligning for me to sort of embrace my identity as a gay man and come out to my family. And we landed in Wyoming, and, you know, I put on my running shoes because I'm training for that marathon to prove that I can do hard things. And, you know, I just couldn't stop thinking about Matthew Shepard. So I remember walking with my family up the lane of the ranch, and I just felt, for whatever reason, I felt the need to remind them of this event, right? Because they're like, oh my God, Wyoming is so beautiful. It's so perfect here. It was Jackson Hole, so I mean, it's very beautiful. But, you know, I just sort of felt like some sort of duty to remind them that this event had happened. You know, I was thinking about it. I think that they were in a different mindset. They were there to have fun. And it was a little weird for me to bring up this tragic event from years before. When we first arrived at our vacation, and my sister has a very high level of anxiety, and so she really does not like to hear about any sort of tragic news events when she doesn't know it's coming, right? So if she sits down and she turns on the news, she's prepared for it. When a brother just brings it out of the blue, she was not ready to sort of hear and process that. And so she became upset with me, and my parents immediately took her side, and then I had my whole family not letting me speak about something that was weighing on my mind, and I was wearing pretty close to my skin. And so that was the first time I started to think about, and some very smart person at the table when I put my name in told me that fluidity can mean whatever it means to me. That was the first time that I began to think about the fluidity of like how I express my sexuality and how much of the present moment my sexuality is, depending on where I am and who I'm with and what I'm doing. So I stormed back to the cabin. I was pretty angry, projecting this onto my family, perhaps in an unfair way, because I had not yet come out to them. And I woke up the next morning, and I put on my boots and my pants and my jacket, and I went to the corral, and I was assigned my horse for the week. And this cowboy brings the horse out. And you go, and the way they do it is they call out the name of the horse. And if it's your horse, you come up and they help you get on and you ride off. He's like, I got Kale here, Kale. And I knew my horse was Kale, so I went up. And the cowboy had a big bushy mustache, and he said, it's a Southern delicacy. And kale to me sort of has more of like a farmer's market connotation, but as kale as a Southern delicacy this week. Okay, great. So kale's a pretty big quarter horse, and I had ridden it before, and so I was like very much wanting to prove that I knew how to do this and in this hyper-masculine environment. So I got on kale, and we're riding riding through the Wyoming prairie, and I was just having an awful time. Kale and I were not getting along. Like he would trot in this weird way where he dropped his shoulder and my groin would be like thrust into the saddle every step, and when I wanted him to lope, he wouldn't lope, and then he'd bolt loping before I told him to lope, and that caused problems. So when I got off at lunch, I was pretty frustrated with Kale, and I was perhaps taking out more than my frustration with the way he was riding on him because of everything the day before. And I sort of like took his face when I tied him up to the hitching post, and I said, Kale, when I get back from lunch, you better behave. And then I went back to lunch, and I came back, and I got on Kale again, and we were like, let's do this. So we rode out for the second half of the day, and Kale was much better, or perhaps I was much better at riding him. And I continued to ride him through the week. So that was when we were there as guests. Every summer since then, we've visited as Lauren's family, since she now lives and operates that ranch. But Kale taught me a lot, and I remember him, and every time I go there, I look for him, and he's not there anymore. Last summer was the first summer he wasn't there anymore, but when I was riding Kale through the sage and the aspens and the firs and everything out there along the Snake River, as foreign as that environment is, I think, to everything I had read and seen about what it means to be a gay person, there was an element of truth in the natural beauty that seemed to be a great equalizer, not an equalizer in the way that like hides differences, but an equalizer in the way that like makes everything that's going on in that environment seem perfectly natural and in harmony. So I ended up coming out to my family a few months after that vacation, and Wyoming has really kind of stood out in my mind now as a place to return to that harmony and that natural beauty, even though it's juxtaposed in a state with a lot of problematic politics in terms of my political opinions and observations. It sort of occupied this place, I guess, of fluidity, depending on where I am in Wyoming and who I'm with and what I'm doing. So that's my story. Thank you.